Today I want to call your attention to the book of Luke chapter 5, and we continue our study on the life of Jesus. And the goal for this study has just been for us to once again fall in love with Jesus. You know, sometimes we make it real complicated, and it's not really complicated. It's just all about Jesus. It's all about a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And today we deal with the question, your sins are forgiven, or are they? Would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God, Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find how he might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before him, took up what he had been laying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, that today you'll open your word to us, that you'll give us understanding, that, Lord, you'll just reveal yourself to us. I pray for those in the service who have never experienced your salvation. I pray that today will be the day they turn to you. For, Lord, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, but by the name of Jesus. We pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right, in the story that we just read, Luke chapter 5, Jesus is teaching, and his teaching has drawn such a great multitude that there is literally standing room only. And a group of men had a friend, of course, that was paralyzed. And in trying to minister to their paralyzed friends, their goal was to bring him to Jesus, because they just knew that Jesus could provide the healing that he was in need of. There was a problem. The problem, of course, being that the crowd was so great, the multitude was so encased around Jesus that they could get nowhere close. So they being the friends that they were, they go up to the top of the house, take off a section of roof, and let their friend down before Jesus. And it was at that point that that man heard what is perhaps the sweetest words he could have possibly heard at that moment. When Jesus looked at him, seeing his faith and seeing the faith of his friends, Jesus said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." I want you to just think about it. Isn't that good? I mean, it is kind of cool. It is kind of neat that Jesus healed the man, and the guy came in on a bed and he left walking and carrying his bed. That's cool. But the most profound words in that story for me are, "Man, your sins are forgiven." Today, I want us to answer the question, who can forgive sins? That was the question the Pharisees had. As a matter of fact, they were accusing Jesus of blasphemy. Who is this that can say your sins are forgiven? Who can forgive sins except God alone? And of course, they're right. They just didn't get it that God was in the flesh standing before them in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Today, I want us to look and answer that question. Your sins are forgiven, or are they? And we do begin with the statement, who can forgive sins but God alone? And I want to begin by exploring what sin and forgiveness really are. You see, the word sin, you don't hear that much in society. I think it's becoming a politically incorrect word. But the word sin originally meant to miss the mark. It was an archery term. Very simply, to miss the bullseye, to miss the target. As we use it in the Bible and as it's used today, it means to transgress God's law or God's standard. And according to the Bible, we've all transgressed God's law, right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know, because of that sin, the great need that mankind, that we have today, is the need for forgiveness. The need for forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Well, literally, it means to, in the Greek, it means to let go or dismiss. To make it as though it never happened. Imagine every wrong thing that you have ever done, everything that God would have taken exception to you about, being gone. And you standing before God and Him seeing nothing but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going for, right? It's described in the book of Psalms, chapter 103, verse 12. So far as east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Being at that place where there's no remorse, no regret, because that sin that you've committed and that I've committed will be remembered no more. It's gone. That's what forgiveness means when Jesus uses it in this text. But my question is, how do you get there? How do you get to that point where you're not carrying that guilt and that knowledge of wrongdoing and carrying the burden of that sin anymore? How do you get there? Well, I've got a few different ideas I'm going to run past you this morning, okay? First of all, let's try renaming our sin, okay? Instead of calling it sin, let's come up with some more easy names for it. For example, in the murder of innocent babies that we would call abortion, let's don't say murder and let's don't use abortion. Let's use a woman's choice or the right to choose. Fornication. You know what that is. That's an old-fashioned Bible word. That's sex outside of marriage, right? But that sounds so harsh and so brutal. Let's change that to friends with benefits. Adultery. When a man's unfaithful to his wife or the wife unfaithful to her husband. That just sounds brutal. Let's don't call it adultery. Let's call it an affair. You see, it's much nicer. Pornography. Let's call that freedom of expression. Alcohol and drug abuse, let's call that a substance problem. Now that we've named or renamed all these sins, don't you feel better? Don't you feel better? I mean, didn't that take away your sin? Didn't it take away the guilt? No, it didn't take away the guilt. You're still carrying the guilt. It's still there. Well, let's try another. Let's excuse our sin. After all, it's not your fault. Right? I mean, it's not your fault. Everybody else is doing it. You're just doing like everybody else does. And besides, your parents didn't love you when you grew up. So it's their fault. You had a very traumatic childhood. You hung out with the wrong crowd. You didn't know what you were doing. Now, don't you feel better? Let's excuse it. But you're still carrying the guilt. How about if we just accept it? Let's just accept all sin. Let's change the laws and culture. And let's make everything okay in everyone's sight. Let's legalize same-sex marriage. Let's legalize illegal drugs. Let's make sure that everyone only says things that are politically correct. As a matter of fact, let's just take our society and let's make the only thing wrong that you can do is to say that something is wrong. That'll make us all feel better. Because we can walk around with no guilt, no remorse, because of the sin in our lives. Wrong. It doesn't change it, does it? You know, I find it really sad, and sometimes I get upset as a pastor, you know, that we have pastors. Boy, I just want to preach, you know, just be on fire. But as I studied this week, my heart broke for people. And the reason it broke for people is because of the sin that they're caught up in. And they're trying to excuse it away, and they're trying to make everyone accept their sin, and they're trying to get rid of it, and it's not going away. You see, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Sin is still sin. If it was sin, if it was wrong 4,000 years ago, it is still wrong. And there is still the law of sin and death, which says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you have to deal with that. You say, oh, Brother Doug, that's old-fashioned. That's just, you know, we have advanced beyond Bible discussions such as that. Oh, no, we haven't. That's like saying the law of gravity is no longer valid. Throw something up in the air and see if it falls. It still works, doesn't it? I want to tell you, God's law is still as valid and timeless as it has ever been. The only thing, my friends, that are changing are people. See, in 2 Timothy, we're warned about the days that we're living in. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables." See, what has happened today is people don't want to hear that they're sinners anymore. They don't want to hear that there is a wrong in their life that must be dealt with. What they want to hear is everybody's okay and we're all trying to get to heaven and let's just hold hands and skip and maybe it'll be okay. And it will not be okay. And the real tragedy today is that instead of preaching truth, pastors and teachers are turning to ear scratching instead of preaching the truth of God. Instead of saying no, certain things are not acceptable in the sight of God. You still have to deal with sin. You ask people today, are they saved? And the general response is yes. I'm saved. While we're all going to heaven, I'm a pretty good person. I do the best I can. Let me tell you something. You're not good enough to go to heaven. I'm not good enough to go to heaven. They're not good enough to go to heaven. The only hope of heaven is Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that He paid for upon the cross of Calvary. There is no forgiveness of sin without Jesus. Our nation is in trouble. It's no longer safe to send our children to school. There's no longer a right and wrong. No longer can you count on the honesty and integrity of mankind. And people are backing up and saying, what's happening? What's happening is people aren't dealing with sin. And the result of that is very evident, very clear in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. And please pay close attention to this, because this is the perfect description. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their body among themselves. who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. And likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which is due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. What's going on in society is God is handing our society back to us. Because we don't want to deal with sin. We don't want to deal with God. Literally, to put that Romans chapter 1 in language, and I realize, you know, the bulk of what I read dealt with homosexuality. But you read Romans chapter 1, and it doesn't just deal with homosexuality. It deals with sexual impurity. It deals with dishonesty. It deals with a whole multitude of sins. And what happens is when people say, God, no, I don't want you. God, stay out of our schools, stay out of our government, stay out of our families, stay out of our lives. God says, okay, here you go. And the result is, people carry the guilt and the shame of their sin. Always searching, but never receiving that peace that can only come through forgiveness. And the forgiveness that can only come through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees of that day. In Luke chapter 13, He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now I know that this is not a popular statement, but I want to tell you this, and I tell you this out of heart of love. Without Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. Without being forgiven through the sacrifice that was made for you, heaven is not your home. And you will never have the peace, the satisfaction. When you lay down at night, you'll never have the peace and the joy, the spiritual fulfillment that you seek, until you deal with sin. Until you're forgiven. You see, how many times have we been in that position where things were wrong with another individual and it just bugged us? You know, I've been married for a lot of years. 32 years. And there's been a time or two that Beth and I have had a cross word. Can you relate to that? Married folks? Oh, it was all, you know, everything I said all because I love her, right? But I want to tell you, when things are not right with Beth and I, I'm not right. Life's not right. And I see her and I think, oh, you know, we need to do something. I need to say I'm sorry. I need to, because, you know, even if she's not saying, Doug, you shouldn't have done that, and you know, and she's not just wearing me out, she don't have to say all that. I just know, I think things are not right. And ultimately, I got to get with her, and we got to get right. Because I don't like living that way. It's kind of how it is with God. You got to come to that point where you get right with God. Okay? And there's only one way to get right with God. It's not on your terms. It's not on their terms. It's on God's terms. That's what forgiveness is about. As I said before, the sweetest words of this passage to me is, man, your sins are forgiven. And I want you to know, when you experience that forgiveness. How to experience that forgiveness. You see, it started with the real faith that was displayed there. So when Jesus saw their faith, He said, "Your sins are forgiven." He saw the faith of that paralyzed man who they brought. And no doubt they did not bring that man against his will. Okay? They brought him to Jesus because that man wanted to come to Jesus, realizing that Jesus was his only hope. Then there were the faith of the friends. The friends who brought their friend to Jesus. You know, they could have got to where Jesus was teaching and the multitudes there. They could have said, "You know, it's too much trouble. We can't get him. We gave it a shot," and turned around and gone home. But they didn't. You see the faith that's being displayed? And the thing that I want you to get about faith, real faith displays itself by action. We talk about by grace through faith that you're saved. There are a lot of people who acknowledge Jesus Christ today, but never exercise faith. And there's more to it than a simple acknowledgement. You can acknowledge that Jesus exists. You can acknowledge God, but it's completely different when faith causes you to go to Jesus Christ seeking forgiveness of your sins. You see, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." That word "substance" means confidence or assurance. The word "evidence" means proof. Real faith has two redeeming qualities. They're first, that quality of confident assurance. And secondly, a verifying proof. See, these men knew they could get help with Jesus. That was their confidence. These men turned to Jesus and actually went to Jesus. That was the proof of their faith. Here's my question. Have you acknowledged Jesus, or have you turned to Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins and salvation? You see the difference? You see what real faith. James said, "Faith without works is dead." Faith moves people. And this is a reminder to me, you know, and it should be to every person that is saved. You know, faith doesn't stop after salvation. Salvation just gets it started. The friends brought this man to Jesus. All right? We should have a faith that points our loved ones and points our friends, the people that we know, toward Jesus. Has your faith moved you more than a simple, "I believe there was a Jesus"? You may have it up here. I'm asking you, do you have it here? Are you forgiven? Are you saved? You see, there was a flawed reasoning among the Pharisees and a lot of people of that day. In verse 22, it says, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts?" Jesus is asking them, because this is what they were thinking. "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Rise up and walk'?" You know what they were doing? They were sitting there watching. And they're saying, "Really? Your sins are forgiven? Is that all you got? Is that as good as you can do? Is that as good as it gets? Really? Oh, come on. If you want us to believe, if you want to make a difference, you heal that man. Let's see you make him walk. It's easy to say your sins are forgiven. But you know the real problem of this story? The real problem is they wanted the cure. They wanted to see the cure, but they didn't want the God of the cure. And I think that's something that really plagues our world today. People want the cure, but they don't want the God of the cure. You know, and we have the mentality, if we could only find a cure for cancer, if we could only find a cure for AIDS, if we could only give money to the poor and so they wouldn't be poor anymore, if we could only shelter the homeless and build homes for everyone, if we could only feed the hungry, and please do not misunderstand me, all of these are great things to do. We should have a desire to help those who are less fortunate. But what I'm saying is you have to address the real need. And the real need is forgiveness. The real need is to know that you have an eternal home in heaven. That's the real need. And that's what Jesus addressed with this man. And then he backed up. When he, knowing how they were thinking, he backed up and he said, okay. Jesus says, okay. So that you may know. So that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I say to you, and I want you to understand, he's not telling the lame man so that you may know. He's telling the crowd so that you may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins on earth. I say to you, the lame man, get up and walk. You know what happened? The lame man got up and walked. The lame man was already a believer. And you want to know the really sad part? It didn't make a difference in those people that were watching. Those Pharisees who saw it all. And the challenge was, oh, do something. You know, let me really see you do something healing. You know, that's what they were thinking. And Jesus says, okay, so that you know I have the power to forgive sins. I say to you, rise up and walk. He rose up, picked up his bed and walked. And all they said was, we've seen strange things today. That's different. Never seen that before. My friends, I want you to grab this. And I realize this is a message for those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is my plea to you. Have you been forgiven? Not have you acknowledged Jesus, but have you turned to Jesus for the salvation of your soul? You may be familiar with the crucifixion. You may know about the resurrection. You may know about the difference that Jesus has made in somebody else's life. But are you a child of God? Look around you and you can know who Jesus is by the difference He's made in the lives of people around you. I want to tell you, I believe with all my heart if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Have you ever seen somebody become a new creation? You want to know what happened? Jesus happened. And it can happen to you. You may be here today. Oh, but Brother Doug, I'm thinking about it. Listen, today is the day of decision. Please, quit thinking about it and let faith take over and go to Jesus for salvation. You may be here today and say, well, Brother Doug, when I get to this point, I'm trying to get these things in order. You're never going to get these things in order. You see, it's kind of like getting the cart before the horse. You got to come to Jesus first and then He helps you get things in order. Right? Are you forgiven? You know, I shared with Beth. It's been kind of, for me as a pastor, been kind of a trying week this week. Because it seemed as one bad news after the other kind of thing. And this kept recurring in my mind and in my heart. And I know it's because Jesus planted it. They need forgiveness. You can't fight the sin. All you can do is change the heart of the sinner. That's what you need today. A change of heart. A turning from sin to Jesus Christ. My plea is receive the forgiveness that Jesus paid for you. You see, it's already been paid. It's already done. Jesus suffered and died on the cross of Calvary all for you. But He won't make you take it. He offers it freely to whoever calls. But you have to call. You have to act upon the knowledge that you have of Jesus. Will you do that today? Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the sacrifice that was made. And Lord, today there are so many people seeking satisfaction in things that never satisfy. And Lord, we can change society, we can change laws, but it doesn't change the fact that sin is still sin. And until that sin is dealt with, there will be no peace. So Lord, I pray for those in this service today who need to be saved. Lord, I just pray that you would convict them, that even now, that you'd break their heart. That they would come to you for salvation. And that, Lord, every decision made in this service today would glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.